Fox's last X-Men movie. And here in this episode, we're going to be talking about the best and the worst and just looking over this historical panel in titles of X-Men movies. What's up, guys? Welcome to Hard to Marvel Podcast. I'm Justin.
I'm Devontae.
And we're going to be talking about just looking back these past 10, 11, 12, probably 15, 16,
2000,
18.
2000, 2001?
Yeah, it was more like 19, almost 20 years of X-Men movies that we got. So pretty much going through everything, just kind of like, you know, opening up somewhat of a soapbox sometimes. And guys, previously put out two episodes of a pre-review of Dark Phoenix, and I put out a personal review of Dark Phoenix, and I've seen it. Devontae hasn't seen it, which he doesn't really have to.
I refuse to see it.
Because he's kind of heard my feedback. But kind of going over pretty much all the X-Men titles and kind of, you know what, some of the best ones, if that could be said.
Are we counting spinoffs too, or is it just the core X-Men films?
What would you consider this be a spinoff?
Logan, the Deadpool movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, they're still in that vein of X-Men. So, I mean, we're considering Deadpool, we're considering Logan.
Because Deadpool feels like its own thing as opposed to an X-Men film, if you ask me. But.
So I would say, honestly, Logan and not Deadpool.
Okay.
Not the Deadpools, but Logan can be that. But we already kind of know that, you know, Logan is pretty much one of the best ones to be out. But, okay, so what is that? The first X-Men came around 2000, 2001, and we were introduced into this, and it actually kind of took us all by storm, you know, no pun intended. And what did you think? Like, what did you think about? Do you remember that time?
The first one I remember watching as a child, and, you know, when you're a child, you kind of have that rose-colored glasses thing where anything is kind of good. But then when I revisited it, I didn't really care for it that much. There's a lot of... I don't like that they took out all the color for gritty realness, kind of like way before Christopher Nolan was doing it.
Yeah.
And there are some character choices that they've done, like making... They made Cyclops almost non-existent.
Yeah.
And even though I love Hugh Jackman as Wolverine and he's a great character...
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a team dynamic, not supposed to be just about him.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that going into the film, and I remember this because I don't really remember. I was an early teen, I think, when these movies came out. And again, I'm still old enough to get a feedback. And again, guys, if y'all know any of my history, which I've done and I kind of sprinkled all throughout this past year and a half throughout podcast, that... You know, I'm a film major, and I've been studying film since I was listening to director commentaries since I was like 8 and 9, 10 years old. And so growing into that, it made literally change my perspective and perception of film. Mm-hmm. So giving a stronger feedback. And I agree with you. Their character choice of the very first film was, you know, how they brought Rogue in the very first, in the class, I was like, that's not right.
I liked her arc, but her introduction, her being in it at that time just felt a little off.
Yeah, as well as Jubilee, I was like, what the hell is Jubilee doing in the very first X-Men? That doesn't make any sense. She comes in at way later of the arc. I mean, way, way later. And again, just how, I mean, I get it, her the Rogue arc, I get it, but still, we didn't see the full entirety of the character. We didn't get that of any of them. Like, we really didn't get any of, like, the capacity of how it is. Now, I understand. But this is the thing. The brilliant casting of Hugh Jackman does it itself, you know. Go ahead.
Which is funny, because when he was initially casted, they hated it. They hated the idea of him being... Because they thought he was too tall, because Logan was short, all this other kind of stuff. He's Australian, there's all these musicals and plays, and then he comes on and he just crushes it.
Now, again, great acting. Hugh Jackman has never let us down. It's more so the films that he has done, the script and the story let us down. Hugh Jackman has never disappointed us in his portrayal of Wolverine, but... I would say going into X2 gave us promise. Like, yes. X2 was really, really solid foundation. It was a really, really good story. But the same thing that I kind of talked about my review of Dark Phoenix is how they introduced Jean Grey's character arc with the Phoenix at the end of X2.
Yeah.
And the same thing that they did with X-Men Apocalypse, where at the end Jean Grey had the Phoenix and were like, okay, how did she get it? you know? And then going, starting with Dark Phoenix, we're flown into space, and the Phoenix Force enters her. I'm like, hold on. Then what happened at Apocalypse?
Yeah, exactly. It's a weird inconsistency.
It's, and that's the thing, that, bringing into that. I think one of the worst things, and this sounds really gruesome, one of the worst things that the Fox did with X-Men is their continuity. The continuity is absolutely horrible.
Yeah, the continuity, the minute the continuity started getting kind of just weird, it all started with X-Men Origins Wolverine, because you had Patrick Stewart showing up in the 90s, or like 80s. They don't even explain when the actual time periods of some of these movies are. Like X-Men Origins Wolverine. Mm-hmm. You don't know the specific time period. So you kind of, it's weird, because Xavier's old, but then in like future installments, like Days of Futures Past and
First Class,
they're like full of youth, but then like in so many years later they end up being old, but it doesn't make sense consistency wise
because even with Dark Phoenix, because Magneto is supposed to be 60 65, brother doesn't look like it, you know. So it's one of those things that it's just I loved where they were going, because with First Class we got the 70s,
it was a good idea.
Day of Future Past, we got the 80s, and then I was, oh man, I can't wait to see them in the 90s, and it was not good. It was not good. Then after, you know, X-Men or X2, then we got introduced into Last Stand, which was really a real disgrace. Biggest one is Juggernaut. It was really a disappointment.
I'll ask you this, because you've seen both of them. Mm-hmm. Do you prefer Last Stand or do you prefer Dark Phoenix?
I would say Dark Phoenix, because of we get to see more characters, but accurate. Specs of the characters, because even with Last Stand, we got some of the characters that we still didn't see, we didn't really see even how Iceman, everybody's full arc came to that last arc was a letdown. Yes. It was extreme letdown,
especially Rogues, and that was probably one of the biggest disservices I thought that film gave me, because Rogue is a character, she's very unapologetic. She has these powers, but she's not afraid of having them, because she's almost like Mystique, where it's like she wears it open sleeves and all, but like they give her the option to get the cure, and she does it all because of a guy. Yeah. And it's like that's something that she wouldn't do.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things that, going back to the continuity, there were so many things they've introduced with the reboots and the old family ties that they didn't really clear up.
Speaking of X2, Iceman had a really promising arc at first, you know, where they go to his house.
And the
X-Men have always been like a big metaphor for inequality, sexuality, absolutely, all this, that, and the third. And then it's funny, because then later, years later on, it would be revealed that Iceman is, you know, he's homosexual.
Yeah.
And it kind of laid those undertones in the second movie. I was like, are they going to go somewhere with this?
Yeah.
And then they just drop it. And it just becomes a big action movie that just doesn't work.
Yeah. So that's one of the things that, looking over some of the next films to come out, and again, we already knew that Hugh Jackman was really booming in his character. And then we got introduced to X-Men Origins Wolverine, which, again, probably the biggest let me down. It was cool to see Blob, but it was the biggest, well, two let me downs is Gambit and Deadpool, and how they did that.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem with that movie, and it is the fault of the filmmakers, but during that time, there was the writer's strike.
Yep.
So there were a lot of movies, like I think Transformers was getting affected, but wouldn't have helped either way. But X-Men Origins Wolverine was one of the big movies that got affected, and it shows.
Yeah, and it just kind of shows the lack of leadership, the lack of directing, writers, and the vision casting, because the reason why we saw Apocalypse blow on that, and as well as Dark Phoenix, because Bryan Singer never showed up during production, though he'll just be gone. You know, and being that Days of Future Past, First Class and Days of Future Past has to be like those sparks of hope in the franchise, where like, okay, wow, maybe they could get this right, maybe they can't, because Days of Future Past just worked.
Yeah,
just worked, and there's really they did it page by page, and I'm like, man, you can't really screw this up.
You know, and kind of going back to X-Men Origins Wolverine a little bit, the beginning scene itself, I thought, was actually quite excellent. Like, the scene where it's like he's showing him getting his powers, then him and Sabretooth going through all the different wars. That, to me, that's what the movie should have been, as opposed to, like, I don't know, like, that movie was just really weird. He had animated claws that you could tell were animated. The actions, the action set pieces were bad. Yeah. Classic characters you like Agent Zero, were kind of overlooked.
Yeah.
And, you know, Deadpool being the biggest disservice to X-Men.
Yeah. And one of the things I've seen over these years of X-Men is just introducing things too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Introducing things way too quickly. And seeing, like, returning adaptations to different storylines. Seeing Last Stand, Dark Phoenix again. Seeing, you know, what was it, Apocalypse, I think it was, where we saw Jean Grey being introduced to, you know, the Wolverine from, like, the comics, which was cool, which was really cool to see that.
Probably the biggest highlight of that movie.
Yeah.
And the obviously Quicksilver scene, but, you know.
Yeah. It's just one of those things that they just... They got into things too quickly, and not having the patience to write out the stories to do that. Because when we started talking about the Dark Phoenix saga, one of those things we never saw the Dark Phoenix in the Dark Phoenix. We never saw that true entity. There's a moment in the third act of the film, but one of the things is that the trailer gave most of the stuff away. We knew Mystique was going to die. We knew all these things, but one of the things I did like that they did is they actually put or position Xavier to be what he truly was in the comics. And everybody thought, like, he was a saint and everything. Understand, this guy is twisted. You know, this guy entered Jean's mind and erased some of her memories of her father and stuff like that, but also putting these young teenagers out there to fight big men wars. That's one of those things that a lot of people overlook.
He's flawed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... It's just amazing to see finally getting that. And even though it was small, though it was really small in the film, I really appreciated that. I really, really did.
I didn't the first X-Men film I actually could say I really, like, genuinely loved was probably Matthew Vaughn's First Class, because that was like, it, for one, it was a film full of color and had the classic suits, which it was about time.
Yeah, right.
Especially because... It's kind of weird how Bryan Singer kind of not only affected the movies but comics, because after that, they were all just in dark and yellow clothing and just sucked out all the color.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a really good. I thought it was a really good introduction. I thought, what's her name? The actress Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence, yeah.
Before she stopped caring about being Mystique, she was really good in it. A lot of characters you didn't think they would take liberties with, they took really good liberties with.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that, again, like I said, First Class started. And then let's not forget The Wolverine, which is the third movie in that little thing. That's the second one. Logan was the third one.
Yeah, that was actually really good. Besides the third act with the Silver Samurai. Yeah,
that got weird. Just seeing that overall takeaway from the X-Men. Now, again, I'm not butchering the X-Men franchise with Fox, but I'm just being realistic of the creative power that was lacking throughout that whole thing. And I know, you know, Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, it was the early 2000s. People were still not understanding, like, how important the character's arc and character development it is in comics, which Marvel Comics had it down, you know?
Yeah, I think my overall biggest issue with the X-Men series in general, they had the biggest problem was setup and payoff.
Yeah.
They would set up all these really cool and interesting ideas.
Absolutely.
And then they would just get rid of it. Like, again, I talked about First Class. That was a really good film. Introduced a lot of cool characters.
Mm-hmm.
Then Days of Futures Past happens. Mystique goes. And then all of a sudden, they're all dead. There's no anything about it.
Yeah.
And it's just like all those little inconsistencies and just forgotten things just kind of annoyed me a bit.
Yeah. And that's, again, it goes back to not being consistent, not being the continuity error in the glitches that are all throughout these timelines. But again, they did with Days of Future Past, where they switched the timeline, which made a whole new reality, and that made sense. But they didn't clear up anything. That's one of the biggest problems with Dark Phoenix. They never addressed Magneto or Quicksilver's relationship. They never addressed all these things that were left. That's like Ryan Johnson when it comes to Star Wars. This, like, like crapping on J.J. Abrams' thing. Like, it's like, oh, I know what you did. I know what you set up. I'm not going to take anything. I'm like, but we're not going to see that in Marvel Studios. No. Like how the Russo brothers set up Thor and the Guardians of the Galaxy, James Gunn goes, oh, okay, got you, bro. I'm going to take it. And that's how it used to be, and it still is in Marvel Comics, when Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko, Starlin, all these people created characters, they just left them out there to see who grabs them. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that Fox has always fails to do is they grab it, but they don't bring it. They don't bring it. It's like, man, you should have never just... You should never touch a character, because if you mess up the character, we'll begin to hate the character, and it's not the character's fault. It's the actual
Cyclops.
Writers.
Perfect example is Cyclops.
Yeah, because everybody hates Cyclops when it comes into the cinematic universe of Fox and stuff like that. Too. But not. I don't agree with that, because in comics and the X-Men, what Scott Summers is, and how he had a crappy. First of all, he's older than freaking his brother. And he made him younger in this movie, but he's older. But just to see Scott Summers' full arc in Uncanny X-Men, bro, I'm telling you, nobody did Scott Summers great in both X-Men franchises. No, nobody did, because you talk about a leader that has been really twisted in the head, like really, really twisted. To see the leadership, we never saw any type of leadership in that way. So there's so much that we can take away
It wasn't until, and this I think we can kind of both agree is easily their best film they've ever done. Their masterpiece, their Dark Knight was easily Logan.
Yeah,
that was the one movie that they got right, because they took their hands off of it and just said, hey, who was the director?
Don't quiz me on that one. I see his face, but I can't see.
They said, hey, this is you. Mm-hmm. Do your vision and create what you want to create. And even though it wasn't exactly combat accurate, because you couldn't do the villains owning surplus, it still lived up to my expectations, and I think that might be one of the top five, if not arguably the greatest comic movie ever made.
I don't know about that one, but is the best Wolverine movie, because we finally get a Wolverine that's rated R, and it was no holds barred with it, and I think it was pretty easy to make, because being that it was post-apocalyptic and old man and all that kind of, everything worked out. It was just everything happening at the right time. So there's so much more that we can talk about with the X-Men franchise and where to go, but guys, we would love to hear your feedback and tell us on our social media, or email us at Heart and Marvel podcast@gmail.com or heartinthepaintpodcast@gmail.com, and or just DM us on Instagram and tell us what's your favorite X-Men movie and why. But that's pretty much all we have today of our spiel and soapbox. If you guys like Dark Phoenix, tell us why, and we'll argue about it. We had a user say, or somebody online tell us that X-Men Dark Phoenix is better than Endgame, best movie of the year. I was like, wow, we're praying for you, and hopefully you're not that sick. But anyways, that's pretty much it, guys. Thank you for taking time your busy day to hear us rant about this X-Men stuff. But guys, stay awesome and stay blessed. Peace.